Hello, I'm actor Russell Tovey.
And I'm gallerist Robert Diamant.
And together we present Talk Art,
a podcast dedicated to the world of art, with interviews such as Tracy Emin and David Trigley.
We're excited because we've just partnered with Bombay Sapphire to help launch their new campaign, Discover the Possibilities Within.
It's a call to arms that encourages everyone to untap their creative potential. Bombay Sapphire believes that creativity matters, and so do we.
Bombay Sapphire.
Stirring creativity.
Are you hungry for adventure?
Do you crave hilarious and perilous tabletop campaigns?
Don't bother rolling perception, pal. We've got you covered.
Behold, Dungeons and Doritos, Nerdy Show's epic tabletop audio drama, a cinematic serial of mayhem-filled, morally questionable quests at DungeonsandDoritos.com.
The following program is presented by The Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Wicked Anime Podcast. This is episode 170, and I am your stupid, awesome analyst, John Starr. With me is the Hardman with Hard Opinions, AFLM.
Hello.
And we have in this room as well our security guy, Greg.
Hola.
And we have our king, baby duck, Evan.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches.
And Elite Four, Derek.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going good.
Good.
Good. So, this episode is our we're like midsummer right now.
Yep.
And so we wanted to, it's about midsummer, mid-season, it's time for a beach episode. What? So we're going to talk about beach episodes during the Stop Gotcha today.
Yeah, none of us have seen midsummer yet.
So. Let's go to the beach, let's go get away.
Derek, I will pay you to sing that to me.
First taste is free, Greg.
Oh yeah. Let's go.
Not to mention nobody gets, he'd be the only one getting paid on the show, so.
That'd be ironic, yeah.
Wait, I'm losing money recording this?
Yeah, pretty much. You're doing this out of the kindness of your heart. That's what we tell you, and that's what you're gonna stick to.
Okay.
If anybody tells you it's a doorknob that hits you. Alright, so we did want to start with a little bit of a somber thing at the beginning. It's been all over the internet and everybody's been addressing it. We haven't addressed it online because everybody else has been doing a fantastic job.
Everybody knows about this.
Everybody knows about it. We're going to talk about the Kyo Annie situation. This is our first chance to talk about it. And we kind of just want to share our thoughts on how we feel about it. I mean, what is there to feel other than extreme sadness and disappointment, I guess, part of it?
So it's really interesting because this is the single most catastrophic mass killing in Japan.
Since World War II.
Not since World War II. There was another one. It was a stabbing event where 15 people died. That happened before World War II.
This one, this one's
after World War II.
But this one's way bigger, though.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So that the stabbing was the last event that was the biggest mass killing in Japan.
I gotcha. And then this one beats it.
Yeah, it was like 30 years ago or something like that. But don't quote me on that. That's not correct. But it is a thing that happened. But so this is even bigger, and this is. Not only that, but it happened at almost a landmark of Japan, of Japanese culture, I should say.
It's a place that everybody knows and respects.
Yeah. So you have this crazy person who sets the building on fire and burns the building to the ground. We lose 33 out of the 70 employees.
It's actually gone up to 35.
That's right, because people have died in the hospital afterwards.
Right.
From their injuries.
Which is ridiculous. Just it's insane to think that
that people so well known and so well loved in Japan were just straight up attacked for literally no reason.
Yeah, no reason.
At all. It probably in the assailant's mind, there was a reason.
Well, I wonder if this was kind of a John Lennon type thing.
Where it's
a fan who
is so obsessed with him that nobody could, he couldn't have him, that nobody could have him. So they go,
but have they analyzed it yet?
Well, the guy shouted like, "You're all gonna die," or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, before he lit the place on fire with gasoline.
And they still have no idea why he did this.
I don't know.
No, the one. Well, from a police report, they said he claimed that they plagiarized one of his works, but apparently he's been stalking Kyoto Animation for the past couple of years.
Mm.
Jeez.
Yeah, and Kyoto Animation, they've already gotten back to work. Have you heard this? The employees are back to work.
I have not heard this.
Yeah. I don't know what they're doing. I really hope they're taking it easily. I mean, I know that they've canceled projects already.
I honestly thought...
Well, can you backtrack a bit? The ones that are working are the people that were in the two other buildings that Kyoto Animation owns.
Okay.
So they have another one in Kyoto, and then they have one in Tokyo, which I think is Do Animation or Do Animation.
Hmm. So, all right. So, fine. The people, not the people in the Kyo Animation building who were attacked.
Huh. I honestly thought that this was going to be the end of Kyo Animation.
There was a part of me that thought that too.
Like, I thought they're just going to stop everything. Like, production is gone. Everything's gone. And everything, it's just a studio that won't come back again.
In a way, in a manner of speaking, it is. As people start claiming, like, and publicizing the people who died in the attack, like, as they start claiming it, it's an end of an era. I mean, one of the people on that list was already the director of Dragon Maiden Nichijou. At least I heard. I don't know if anybody can confirm this because...
Well, I can, because there was something that was posted by the relatives saying that he had passed away.
Okay, right. Because the only places that I had heard of this before were the director's Wikipedia page and then Reddit, when I don't believe anything on Reddit.
Yeah.
So,
right.
So I couldn't find anything else up until
I love that you said
point.
That about Reddit and not Wikipedia.
Well, I mean, it's well known that Wikipedia is not truthful, but there are some people who live their lives by the information that they get on Reddit.
Yeah.
Greg.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm kidding.
No, you're not wrong.
Regarding the lost works, I don't know if any of you guys read, but they just found this whole thing of data that they had saved everything on, and it turns out it's going to be fully recoverable.
Well, that's good.
Oh, my.
I mean, that's
unexpected.
Sure. But when you really think about it, though,
yes,
what would
yes.
you rather lose in a studio? Would you rather
I would rather lose the data. I'd want the people back.
Of course.
Yeah, of course.
Anybody
yeah.
would pick
it's
that.
It's like right. finding unreleased Kurt Cobain music after he passes away. It's like,
yeah.
Okay. Well, we have that, but... No, let's just focus on, the task at hand at this point. There's a tragedy that just happened.
Right.
Like, from our point of view, it's everybody, I obviously would look at it like, yeah, you'd rather lose the data than the people, but how are the business owners reacting to this? I mean, is this a very large animation studio
no.
or is it very small?
At this point, the company would, if they want to keep going, would need to take this as a turning point and need to probably... reinvent themselves
small?
At this point, or at least go a different direction, or at least refocus and get back down to the basics.
Just an FYI, Greg, most animation studios are very small.
Okay.
Yeah. The founder, Hideaki Hada, has actually released a statement today about the situation.
Mm.
Do you mind if I read it verbatim?
Yeah, go ahead. That sounds good.
So, this is what Hideaki Hata wrote to everyone. He wrote it in Japanese, English, Chinese, Korean, and German. An unprecedented atrocity has robbed many of our friends and colleagues of their bright futures and has left many deeply injured. News from all over the world tells us that, amazingly, many number of people have sent us their hearts and prayers. which are like candles in the darkness, for those of us trapped in the darkness of deepest grief. There are many friends and colleagues who are hospitalized and suffering, fighting for their lives. Please give us some time. We promise that Kyoto Animation will continue to create animation that help people have dreams, hope, and impress them. Kyoto Animation will continue to make its employees and staff lead happy lives and contribute to society and local community. I assure you that Kyoto Animation will not give up. We will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. And that's what he posted.
As any company should. No company should be, should hide away. Or no,
that's
person.
A Kurt Vonnegut reference in there too. Don't go quietly into that good night.
Yeah.
Yep, that's a Kurt Vonnegut quote.
Yeah, but no, nobody should ever run and hide with the tail between their legs when a tragedy happens, you know?
But also, we really wouldn't be surprised if they were just like, sorry guys, this is the end. Like, we can't recover from this.
We can't do it, yeah.
Where, I mean, they would probably disperse into, in the same way, I mean, not the, obviously not the same way.
Or be absorbed into a different company. Well, that so would be less of, shameful, kind of.
I mean, you make fragment companies, like the way that Studio Trigger was created off of
Gainax.
All the Gainax, or a fraction of the Gainax people. They made their own studio. That was,
and then Studio MAPPA came from the founder of Madhouse and a couple of other people.
Right.
So now let's talk about the reason, probably the biggest reason why they could get back up on their feet like this after such a tragedy. It's the support that they've been getting from people around the world, right?
Right. As of this recording, I think they have raised almost like $8.5 million to help them out.
Jeez. Wow. Like U.S.?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, a lot of that goes to the families, I'm sure.
Wait, I certainly hope so.
Is that enough for a whole studio? Like a professional studio? $8.5 million?
It'll help. I mean, so no, hold
like,
on.
It's not $8.5 million just for the studio. It's going to be like for the staff mostly.
If we talk about the logistics, the building itself was insured, I imagine.
But the equipment inside, was that insured?
Yes. As a business, you insure all the equipment that's inside too. So probably all of this donated money from the fans from all around the world is free to get back to whatever they need to, you know, put towards funeral costs and all these things that
are variables and are not insurable.
Yeah.
So far from the one that Sentai Filmworks runs, they have raised over $2.3 million as of this recording. But then when Kyoto Animation opened up a special account for people to donate, that raised almost $6
million. Mm. So now I heard that early on, I heard that it's dangerous to donate to these places because as KyoAni is a privately owned company on its own, they're not allowed to take donations from anybody else.
Normally that would be the case, but the Japanese government has announced that they're considering looking the other way for it and even giving tax breaks for the donations.
Wow. Do you have a reference for that?
I have it right here on Crunchyroll.
Wow. Jeez. Wow, okay. Great. Amazing.
Prepared.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Job. And that's why I asked the question, because I knew Evan would have it. So so that's great. That's amazing to hear. I mean, if we had it any other way, we really wish that this didn't happen. But if it shows that the world is somewhat unified in some way, it's how they've come together after this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So like it's also says that there that the tax breaks for donations, they'll also, that the government will also even throw in money to help Kyoto Animation train new animators for the studio too.
My goodness.
Are they looking for Baka Gaijin? I'll go.
They don't say, but go ahead.
Yeah, right.
Andrew, you should go.
They get paid peanuts.
They do.
Normally
that would be the case, but Kyoto Animation actually pays people on a salary. Like an actual comfortable to live salary.
Find a place that pays in cashews, not peanuts.
Mm. Yeah.
The dad jokes are real.
All right, the show gets funnier from here.
Hey, yeah. let's ring that news bell.
Somebody actually on the Discord actually gave us our first little bit of News Bell Chan fan art.
Really?
You haven't been on the Discord?
I haven't. I've been in California mm-hmm. for a while on a vacation.
You've been in Fantasyland.
Well, Disneyland, is as they call it.
The Fantasyland. Oh, the copyright.
my wife and I, Christine, we went to San Francisco, drove down the Pacific coastline, which was beautiful, and then we stopped in L.A., which was not beautiful, and then we went to Disneyland and Universal. That was great. Universal is amazing. Disneyland and California Adventure is all amazing. Great times. Different flavor of homeless people, like from California to to Boston. Like the Boston people, homeless community will like leave you alone, but the California people, man, they put on a show. They put on a show for you. Like the first day we were there, we were in line for our tour bus, which pretty much acted like our taxi service. There was this woman in the middle of the street screaming and cussing at cars as they were driving by. And like, oh man, it was like and she had a sign that people couldn't even read because she was waving it. It was like she was a sign waver, like throwing it around and like. And then she just walked over like and sat on the sidewalk like her shift was over. She didn't even bother us. It was amazing.
All right, next homeless person, your turn.
Yeah. All right, it's my designated 10-minute break starting now.
Yeah, it's like that.
Welcome to America's Got Homeless.
They have their own union.
They do in Boston.
Yeah, I know, right?
Wait, what?
Yeah, like all the homeless people you see in Boston are not homeless people. I promise you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There's in Boston by the Heinz Convention Center. There's maybe a couple blocks over is like the worst part of it. And there is a woman that Christine's mom drives by on her way to work every single day, who has had a stroke, and she has a sign that she holds in front of her that says, "I had a stroke. I can't pay my medical bills. I need money." Well, over the years, because she's been driving that route for 30 years working in the same place, the stroke has switched sides of her body multiple times. She sees her every day. She does not forget her face. But that stroke has switched sides of her body every once in a while, probably because she gets tired of acting like one part of her body's numb.
So it's like Igor's hump in Young Frankenstein.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Why were we talking about
News Bell?
Yeah, no, oh yeah.
Oh, Fantasyland, because I went to Disney. Yeah, yeah.
And you're in California.
And LA has homeless people. Apparently.
I do want to talk about one thing though. One dream of mine that happened is I did get to go to Double Fine Studios. For those of you who don't know Double Fine, they are the greatest video game company on the planet. They made Psychonauts. They're currently making Psychonauts 2. If you don't know any of their other projects, there was
Brutal Legend,
Stacking, Costume Quest. They're coming out one in a couple weeks called Rad, which is a 3D roguelike game where you go out into the post-apocalyptic wasteland as a rad teenager, and as you fight through hordes of mutants, you also get mutated yourself, and the mutations are random. So, like, one time you're a teen and you go out, your arm can mutate into a tentacle that has, launching attacks as a whip, and then your character will die, and the next mutation that you get, you'll lay eggs that have your face on them, and they follow you around, like, centuries. So, that's called
like
Rad. That's
Yoshi.
Coming out. Like a Yoshi. Exactly like that. So, Double Fine is my favorite game studio of all time, and one of the most creative game makers out there on the market.
They're not owned by any bigger company out there.
Right? No. Microsoft now owns them.
Well, but they're still their own unit, so...
Yeah.
So somebody like Jonathan can text them on Twitter and be like, "Hey, I want to come to your studio." And they're like, "Okay."
Yep. That's exactly what I did.
Which is exactly what happened.
It was 2 days before we were going to be in San Francisco, and I sent in a tweet.
A DM.
Yeah.
Right on, man.
Right on.
Right on.
That's what everybody says in California.
Yeah.
Right on.
We saw some guy save $6.10 at in a grocery store line, and he went, right on.
Was it like an old man, like, right on?
No, it was actually, he was like a middle-aged dude, like too old to be saying that in Massachusetts, but not in California.
Right on, man. Right far on. Out.
Imagine, like, surfers say right on, man.
Yeah, probably.
Right on.
So that's the difference. Radical! Is we can actually swim in our oceans. You can only surf at your own risk in California oceans. The riptide is so strong in California oceans, nobody swims in them because you'll just get taken away, like, instantaneously.
Well, there were a couple areas where I went a couple of years ago where you could swim, and it was actually pretty cool. There were actually seals and dolphins that were swimming by us.
It was totally cool, man. I mean, like, right on. Get some drowning right now, right?
Yeah.
It's like I'm watching Rocket Power again.
Woogity woogity.
Man, what an annoying show.
So what's our first news story?
So a summer anime series from last year had officially been announced for licensing by Funimation, a show that I think Andrew and I were the only to watch, Caretaker of Tsunaharaso.
I watched the first episode of that. That was enough.
I liked the rapiness of it.
That's really what it was. That's why I stopped watching it. It was so uncomfortable.
But
yeah, I thought it was pretty funny.
It was this high school kid who looked like he was about 4, and he wanted, or and he was constantly being pursued by the at least 30-something-year-old caretaker of the house who wanted to rape him.
Well, it wasn't just her. It was almost everybody in that household.
Basically, if they were a female, they wanted to rape him. And it was very enjoyable. I very much watching the exploitation of it.
Well,
all.
what was he wearing?
This is a dark path going down.
Actually, that's a fair question because I'm pretty sure there's a lot of costume changes in that anime.
There's a lot of costume changes.
There is an episode where they do dress him up as a girl, too.
Yeah, they force him to do it, and he doesn't want to do it, but they kind of do rape him a couple times without penetrating him. Penetrating him by like ripping off his clothes and like putting him in something else, and them being like, "You're so cute," and he's like, "I don't like this."
But also the way you raise that, you say anime. There are ways he did it without penetrating implies that there are ways they did it with penetrating.
I
guess you're just gonna have to watch it and find out.
We should point out that there are a few instances where the boy is like, "Hey, okay, why not?"
That doesn't make the other times okay, though.
That's right. I'm just saying, but there are other times where the boy is like, "Oh, okay."
It was totally
tongue in cheek.
It wasn't, though. It was just
there's a lot of tongue in a lot of places, apparently.
It was, and I'm. It's so strange to think about this show. Because my brain tells me, you really enjoyed this show. It was a wonderful show, and it was funny to watch.
It was cute to watch.
Well, and that was the strange thing. It was like, this is a cute show, but it's very rapey. And but it's like the women are all over this little kid. And
it's not really a little kid. We should make that point again.
I mean,
he's a high schooler.
I know. I think 18-year-olds are little kids. Come on, like we're practically rounding 30. Like, of course they're little kids. They're children.
Well, we're middle aged. That's why.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're so and with that perspective in mind, those are children. He is younger than an 18-year-old, which makes him a child.
The Sergeant Frog rule. It's okay to ogle. All these high schoolers are played by college students in their 20s.
So my question now is, if you thought this was like a cute, like, rapey show.
Yep.
Right? What tips could you give Bug Rape Island to be like this show?
Well.
make the bugs into moe.
I guess you have to give... Yeah, you have to make the bugs very moe, give them giant melons.
Bugs are a very specific fetish.
Here, no, what we do is we cancel Bug Rape Island and we just make Monster Musume Season 2. That's how you do it.
No, we're not canceling Bug Rape Island. It's a very uncomfortable story and I want to see every single second of it. It's gonna make me so sad.
I like how we don't even call that show by its actual title anymore.
I don't even know the name. I was just referring to it as like...
It's literally Island of Giant Insects.
Yeah.
I like Bug Rape Island.
See, it takes more to say Bug.
They should spell it INSEX.
Where were we?
We were talking about a new show coming to Funimation.
Yeah, Sunohara-so.
Yeah.
Sunohara-so. Well, it's not a new show. So here's the thing. I found out why it wasn't licensed here in America last year. Apparently, the... All right, so... The streaming site Bilibili, which is a popular streaming site in China, had some stock in this show, and because of that, they got the show exclusively for 1 year before anybody else did.
That's interesting.
That's strange.
I wonder why.
So once that 1 year exclusivity went, it became, you know, safe for someone here in America to grab, and that someone was Funimation.
Well, all right.
Cool. I'm not going to buy it. I would buy it, but I'm not going to buy it.
All right. It's going to buy it.
What do we got next?
All right. Are you ready for more Zombie Idol madness?
No.
Maybe. Convince me.
Zombieland Saga just announced it's getting a second season entitled Zombieland Saga Revenge.
Okay.
With a beautiful picture of Manager Son just with his arms up, screaming his... Like, just screaming. That's all he does.
I would watch a show about him, but not the idols. He needs to be the main character. Well, that's not true. That's not true because he's not a main character. He's a side character.
Through and through. Yeah, but he's the one who brings all the main characters together. And he steals every scene that he's in.
Exactly. It's because he's the most powerful person in the scene. Everybody else is like, eh.
Everybody else is run by cute expressions.
Do you remember the first episode of Zombieland Saga being really good because it was about metal zombies?
Yes.
And then it wasn't good anymore after that, ever?
Yes. I do distinctly remember that because...
I like the show.
It should have been about metal. If it was a metal show, that would have been amazing. But they did it wrong. and so it just got really, really tiresome after a while. I know you very much enjoyed it, Evan.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't make my top 10 list, but I had a really good time watching this show.
I just couldn't keep up with it. Like, it didn't have enough content in it for me. Other than these characters are cute, it didn't have any other content to it that made me want to keep watching.
Gotcha.
But they're cute.
But they are cute. Yes, the art in it was very well done. I think their facial expressions were very good. Their animated reactions were good. The animation was bad at points because they did the whole stupid 3D thing when they were dancing, which was awful. And then the jokes were funny. But just because, and I've always had this thing, just because the jokes are funny does not make a good program. You know, like in the same way that a whole lot of recent media was just like, oh, but it was so funny. It was just like, but was the show good? No. That's all right.
All right. So, what's next?
All right. Here's something that might excite both of the twins here. Junji Ito's Tomie is getting a live-action adaptation, but an American live-action adaptation from the director of The Hills Have Eyes.
Ooh. I don't know if any of that excites me, actually.
That went downhill very fast.
Tomie, great, but they have already had a live-action version of it.
Yeah. So it's actually going to be a live-action TV series, or rather a streaming series.
So it could be good, but
The Hills Have Eyes wasn't terrible.
No, okay, so again, Junji Ito's work, when translated into motion, is not... good, because Junji Ito's work is not meant to be put into animation or live action or anything, because the fact that it's a still picture makes your mind work in a way, how is this thing supposed to function, and that makes the human brain very uncomfortable, adding to the horror. So making a visualization for everything makes it not as scary. So I'm kind of apprehensive about saying, woo, that's great. And then The Hills Have Eyes was a really crazy movie that I have mixed feelings about. So, I don't know. I don't know. I do like Junji Ito, though.
Okay. So, this is going to be part of a new streaming site called Kibi, and the streaming site's going to be launching in April of 2020, and it looks like Tomie will be one of the first shows that is going to be showcased.
So nobody's going to watch it.
Probably not when it first launches.
Because
people aren't even watching the new Star Trek series on CBS All Access.
Stupid streaming services, man. Like, nobody has, like, everybody wants to have their own streaming service, but then it's just going to turn into cable where everybody's paying $1 million again because they have all these different streaming services, and it's getting too much, guys. Like, I really like the idea that, you know, okay, we had Crunchyroll so we could stream our anime, and then they teamed up with a bunch of people under Warner Brothers I actually think it was Turner.
Turner.
And then they made VRV, as much as I hate all those companies. It still gave us access to a bunch of streaming services for one cost. That's great. That's, like, really good. But now it's like HBO's going to have one. And then Cartoon Network's going to be out under HBO. And then you have all these other... Like, ABC has All Access, and Disney's going to have their own streaming service, which they're going to make $1 million doing that, and it's just going to be insane. It's streaming services is just the new cable network, where basically it's the internet's cable.
Yeah, where you can just watch it whenever you want.
Yeah, you sign up for the stuff, and it's the worst future of cyberpunk ever.
Well, cable's thing was they make you pay, and you get, like, a bunch of things that you don't want. So eventually the market realized, like, hey, people want to be able to pay for what they want, so everyone's kind of creating their own thing and knowing, like, oh, I know people are going to pay for my service because they want this. And it's right. Kind of like a a la carte menu at this point.
Yeah, which
is literally a term for that they use in cable.
But the problem is people are going to be signing up for services so they can watch one show, you know, and everything else on the streaming services, they're gonna be like, oh, well, maybe I'll watch this. And, like, I mean, if you see, like, all the stuff that Netflix is pumping out, like, I watch all the crap that Netflix pumps out too. I literally, every time a new horror movie comes out on Netflix, I watch it immediately, like, the day it comes out. And it's always the worst experience of my life. Like, how do I get that back?
So you're like, thank you, I hated that.
Yeah, like, thanks, I hate it. And then you... But at least I was working during it, so I didn't waste time because I got work done while I was watching it. But, man, people don't know how to write stories anymore, and people don't know... They're just pumping out all this crap because there's streaming services that will buy it up. And then you have giant corporations like Warner Brothers and Turner and Viacom and all these people who are making money off the streaming services and just feeding into all the garbage. This is what you came for, folks.
Yeah. So, how about we go into the West, into some Uncanny Valley?
Ooh, okay.
Uncanny Valley.
I don't know.
Uncanny Valley.
It's hot out. The valleys are hotter.
Yeah. And depending on your fetishes, too, it may be a little bit hot. Who has seen the trailer for the upcoming movie Cats?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Wait, that Cats is now part of the Uncanny Valley?
Absolutely. Have you seen the trailer?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's horrifying.
Yeah, that's the Uncanny Valley. No, but...
You know what? It's fun. It's like, people are like trashing on it, but I actually like the trailer for this movie.
The thing is, it's like, you know they're real actors, though. It's not like an inanimate object that's moving like a real person.
It's a cat moving like a real person, though.
Yeah.
No, but... But I thought the purpose of, like, our presentation that we would do at conventions like Anime Boston is, like, these are inanimate objects that move like human people.
No, that's a piece of the Uncanny Valley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Zombies are at the bottom of the Uncanny Valley.
Fine, I guess you have me there.
Yeah. Cats... So, I'm not a sissy, so I don't watch Broadway plays.
Screw you!
Shots fired!
I'm familiar with some of the songs from Cats, but
are you? I don't even think I'm.
Yeah,
I don't even think I've done that much.
The one who says it's not in musicals knows a couple songs from Cats.
Yeah, well, because remember that song "Memory All Alone"? That was they sang
no,
that in school.
No,
of Rock,
I don't. So.
They sang in School of Rock.
Christine just walked into the room and is just glaring at Andrew.
She's not saying anything.
You're going to have to take Christine to see Cats when it comes back to stage then to make up for that evil glare.
Watching but, you know, the trailer, I'm giving this a big no. Why is the penguin from Batman in this trailer?
Penguin from Batman.
Wait.
Are you watching it right now?
Yeah. There is some portly guy with a suit, like coattails, and a top hat that looks exactly like the penguin from Batman at some point.
Christine, oh, that's James Corden.
Have you seen the trailer for Cats?
Yes.
Oh, you did?
The Cats the movie.
Yeah.
What do you think of it?
Terrible.
Terrifying.
I loved it.
Uncanny Valley.
Yeah.
I like the trailer for it. I think it looks pretty good.
No. I don't like it.
I'm part of the really small minority right now that who loved Cats as a kid and is really excited for this movie. It deserves to be as weird as it gets. The musical is about a bunch of cats who say their names and then one gets picked up and they go up on a spaceship. If it's not visually weird, you're doing it wrong.
So we're trying to explain to Christine right now how Cats is part of the Uncanny Valley for those who might be hearing what's going on in the background while Helen was talking.
No, that's not what's happening at all. She's yelling at me for saying that
musicals
are there,
for sissies. Well, everybody knows I've been to
Thank you, Christine.
I tell you all the time that Jesus Christ Superstar is one of my favorite musicals ever. Like, of course I've seen Broadway plays.
Yes. What's that buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's that buzz? Tell me what's happening.
This is the greatest mood that has like been in the room for a while.
Oh, my goodness.
But like growing up, like Andrew Lloyd Webber was one of my favorite, you know, Broadway makers. So I loved like Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, Jesus Christ Superstar, Cats, and Phantom of the Opera. Those are the four I loved as a kid. But you know, his more recent stuff isn't as good. But
I like the Nutcracker.
That's a ballet.
Well, yeah, close enough. It's basically a musical.
It's all the same shit. They're on stage.
We can tell. The listeners can tell who all the yeah dudes are in Wicked Anime. Broadway! Ballet! It's all the same fucking bullshit all the time. It's just a bunch of pansies dancing and singing on stage. Where's my beer?!
This elevated quickly.
So, but yeah, I saw the trailer. It was fantastic. Like in for all of the wrong reasons too.
Well, that's what Cats is. It's fantastic for all the wrong reasons. That's why it made $2 billion when it first played on Broadway.
Did it really?
Yeah. Actually, there is a production of Cats in Japan that has been playing nonstop since 1984. They fucking love that musical over there.
Really?
That's probably why they created all the Cat Girls.
I know, right? Yeah, it's like, Andrew Lloyd Webber is our god!
But then they look at his designs of the cats and are like, yeah, we can do it better.
Yeah, and they did.
Let's take off the fur here. Let's just leave the ears and the tail. There we go. Perfect. That's how you do a cat girl.
Uh-oh, it's magic.
You know!
Yeah.
But I'm not going to go see it.
I'm going to go see it.
I
might bring an edible with me to watch it to enhance the experience, but I will go see it.
I have an Into the West that I watched recently. Has anybody seen The Boys?
I actually just got Amazon Prime, so I might check that show up.
Yo, So I read the comic books when it was coming out. It's a series that was 71 issues long that ran for a couple of years. It was written by Garth Ennis, and he is the craziest person on the planet, I believe.
Especially when he works with Warren Ellis.
Garth
Ennis and Warren Ellis, when they team up, you get like the weirdest stuff.
Did they team up?
I think so.
I don't know if they have.
They crossed together.
I thought they were both writers. Warren Ellis and Garth Ennis were different. Anyways, so the boys just got an adaption on Amazon Prime, and it is so toned down from the comics, but I think I actually like it better that way, the way that it is. Originally, the boys in the main character, his name is Little Huey. He was modeled in the comics after Simon Pegg, but because Simon Pegg's too old to play that part now for the boys series, he actually plays Little Huey's father in the series, which I thought was pretty a nice homage to it. So it's taking a different turn. All the characters do something completely different in the series, but honestly, the way that it's written, I like it better. It's been produced by Seth Rogen and a couple of other people. Mm-hmm. And you can really tell their dedication to the comic because they really want to do right by it. And it's so much fun to watch. Carl Urban is like, I've never heard him say so many horrible curse words before, but oh man, it was so good. You can also see his butt, but.
All right.
I don't understand your wife, Jonathan.
I don't either.
Shenanigans happening during Wicked Anime is the funnest of times.
So
she's taking videos of us, and then she's sending them to us on our messenger.
After a sizzling summer's day out, enjoy an action-packed evening in with Now TV. Enter another dimension in Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, or soak up the award-winning tearjerker A Star Is Born, and keep the magic flowing with Fantastic Beasts: The Crimes of Grindelwald. With 40 new movies added every month, there's something for everyone when the sun goes down. 18 plus, month passes sold separately and auto-renew. Terms apply.
This is Acast Recommends. Every week we pick one of our favourite shows, and this is one we think you're going to love.
Do the Right Thing is the comedy panel show that works out the right thing to do in weird and extreme situations.
I think when you fall down, you should try and land your fattest bit first. So, for example, I've got a really big face.
And his reply, I'll remember forever, he said, "That's where I put my sandwiches."
The new series starts this week and features Sarah Millican, Joe Lycer, Aisling Bea, Deborah Francis White, Darren Harriott, Richard Herring, Bridget Christie and many others.
Michael, were you good at exams at school?
I'm doing this.
Acast is home to the biggest podcasts from the UK and around the world. Subscribe to this show and hundreds more now via Acast or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you like, you should probably start posting those onto the Wicked Anime Facebook.
Anything in the living room.
But that's how we always are.
I know, that's why I always go out.
Wow.
You should just stay put, Christine.
Enjoy the last one. It was pretty great.
So I just wanted to make that note, too, as a side note. Everybody who has Amazon Prime Video, check out The Boys. It's from a comic book that I really liked, but I actually kind of liked this series better.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I do. I think the live-action version is doing such a good job that... but if you want a like really really intense comic book to read,
it's vile,
it's grotesque, it's like you're talking about rapey, like there's a whole lot of stuff in it that's just so over the, but that's how Garth Ennis is.
Yeah, Garth Ennis likes the rape.
Everything that he has ever written is the most disgusting and gut churning thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, if you've never heard of Crossed.
Or Preacher.
Yeah, no, Crossed is way worse than
Preacher. Oh my gosh, yeah, I would...
Have you ever read Crossed?
No.
Oh boy, yeah, I have some volumes that I'll let you borrow.
Yeah, no, like, just the first issue alone of Crossed will be like, I don't think I ever want to read this again.
I think the first page almost disturbed me enough not to read the rest of it, but I ended up reading the rest of it.
Yeah, it's really out there and disgusting and vile and gross.
Yeah, that's Garth Ennis. But anyways, The Boys is really good, I highly recommend it. So,
awesome.
All right, is that all for Into the West? Do we have another?
I wanted to borrow your volumes of of the boy so I could read it.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's it that we have for Into the West. Was that all Into the West, or was that part of the news as well?
I think it was just all Into the West.
Yeah, it's kind of a tale to the news, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so what's next? Do we have something else?
Or are we going on to what we're watching?
I think we're going into what we're watching.
Fantastic. I watch The Boys.
So I've been watching most of the new anime. I haven't caught up with the episodes that are out now. I didn't watch anything for the past couple days. So I haven't seen the new Isekai Mom. I haven't seen the new Danmachi. But since the last time I recorded, Danmachi has come out, and I very much enjoy it. It's definitely season two of Danmachi. That's for certain.
The second episode was exciting, man.
It was exciting, yes. It was. I liked the way the first episode ended as well. That was pretty good.
Mm. Good cliffhanger.
And then episode two ended with a cliffhanger that Eyes was going to join him, but even more exciting, Tiona was going to join him. So that's
really?
That's the most important part.
Wow, I guess the fans...
Reddit, it's not that they're joining him, they're training him for it.
Right.
Yeah, but even still, the fans got what they wanted. That's just how it is. Now, I heard that Mom Isekai is not as fan service-y.
So I was watching the second episode of Mom Isekai.
Oh no, it's slime. It's melting only the girls' clothes.
Evan, I'm getting there. So I was watching the second episode of Mom Isekai, and I was just watching it. I was like, wow, you know what? I was getting to the end of it, and I was shocked. I was like, there's not that much fan service in this. That's pretty shocking. The first episode didn't have any fan service in it at all.
Mm.
The second episode was really tame.
Except in the first episode when she pulled the instruction manual out of her boobs.
That's like child's play in anime.
Yeah, right.
and then the last 2 seconds of episode two shows up, and I was like, oh, okay, here's the... where her clothes start burning off, and then I was like, oh, it burned down to her underwear, and then her underwear starts burning, and I'm like, oh, they're gonna cut it here, and then they didn't, and he's like slipping and sliding all over his mom because she's covered in slime, and he like falls face first into her boobs, and I'm like,
are you serious?
Yeah. And
yes.
Like, where did this come from? There's literally been zero fan service in this show, and I was like, maybe we have a Uma Musume type thing going on here, where it's like, oh, it's a funny, quirky show, where obviously it's like, oh, it's a mom love show, you know, a very ara-ara show.
Have you noticed how, like, every village that they go to is, like, a pun on mom?
Yeah, and so... So I thought it was going in that direction, and I was rather shocked. I was like, wow, that's a really cool thing that they're doing, where we're getting another show that's supposed to be super fan service-y, and it's not. And then just punches me right in the mouth. And just like,
you shut your mouth.
Mom's covered in slime, and sun falls all over her, and she says the line, no, but I'm your mother. I was like, oh my goodness, no. Oh, man. So that's the best show of the season. No, not a lie. Dumbbells is the best show of the season.
No, Dumbbells has been brilliant.
Dumbbells is legitimately the best show of the season. It's amazing. Everybody's got to be watching Do You Lift Dumbbells and How Much Do They Weigh or whatever.
I need to catch up on the episodes. I haven't had a chance to watch anything because when I was in California, I didn't have a moment to spare the whole time. But I did, for my airplane flights, buy every available volume in America of Dr. Stone for my flight. So
yes.
I'm reading Dr. Stone. And currently I'm actually caught up where the anime is. So
okay.
Yeah. And I love it. I can't stop reading Dr. Stone. I read them at, like, volumes at a time.
Yeah, I can get...
What did I tell you, man? It's that series is addicting.
Yeah, it is. It's good. I have to take a break usually after in between each volume, but But man, like I want to know what happens. It's a very motivated series, and it's
yeah.
Funny
I just got volume 6 and 7 sent to me the Viz Media from Viz Media, so I'll be covering that shortly on the B3 website.
Oh great! I have number 6 on my shelf, but I don't have 7 yet. So maybe I'll borrow it. Anyways,
maybe.
They're really good. Really, really happy to. I'm really enjoying it. It's really good.
Derek, how about you?
All right, so I actually started and finished all of Death Note. So I've literally been pulling a cleanup of series that I needed to be watching and I haven't watched yet. So
that's a freaking throwback, man.
That's high school.
Yeah, we were in high school when we were watching that. We didn't even think about doing an anime podcast yet. Podcasts didn't even exist back then.
Death Note was one of the animes that I started when I discovered that I liked anime and I liked the watching anime shows. I was jumping around to different shows to see if I could find another show that I would like. Death Note was one of the ones I tried, so it's like a real super classic for me. As much as I really can't watch it ever again.
Yeah.
And it was still a beginner anime for me, and now
once you know how it ends too, it's like you can't watch.
It's like, well, I don't really need to see this again.
Yeah, there's no replay value.
Yeah, because I mean, Derek, what episode can you go back to and be like, this is my favorite episode of Death Note? You can't because they're all talking.
It's all leading up to, I know he's going to make a mistake. It's going to happen. When is it going to happen?
It's funny because I think about that series and it's like, man, that's a throwback. That's also the first anime that taught us that AMVs are terrible things.
Yes. Because I had the ending to Death Note spoiled for me before I had finished it because...
We were watching it on Adult Swim.
No, we were watching it as it was being released in the United States, but of course, dumb weebs like to make AMVs and get all the Japanese footage.
Yep.
And so they make AMVs of the show. So we were at an anime con. We were at Anime Boston. And somebody was like, you know what? It's a great idea that we play this show that everybody is currently watching right now and have it spoiled for everybody.
Brad Swale.
I remember that AMV, by the way. I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah. Brad Swale, the English voice actor of Light Yagami, was there that year because everybody was flipping out that Death Note was the thing. And they spoiled the whole show in an AMV.
Yep.
In one sitting for everybody.
So congratulations. We hate you, AMV creators.
Except for ones like Baka Opai, who make the ones that are like all compilations and stuff like that.
We've discussed AMVs to death. There's a lot of good AMVs out there.
Yeah.
But the people who are dumb and make, like, I want to tell my version of the story. It's like, well, you can't because it's not your story. It's not your music.
And I'm sure that the Japanese also hate Fall Out Boy as much as we do.
Yeah.
We can all agree that one of the best is the safety dance with Nichi Joe.
Oh, so good. I still watch it too.
I
love the humorous AMVs, like the ones that just like do it as a joke, you know, like set it to certain music as like a music video kind of thing and not trying to tell a story on their own.
I didn't mean to derail the conversation with Death Note being an AMV.
But that was a throwback. That was a death back. Now,
Derek, I want you to go onto Netflix and watch the American live action Death Note on Netflix.
I've been told no.
No. You have to watch it, dude.
It's super entertaining, but not in the way you want it to be.
Except for Willem Dafoe as
Ryuk.
Oh my, that's all you had to say. Okay.
Go watch it. Watch it right now. I would excuse you from the rest of this podcast if you want to go watch it right now. I promise you it's worth every second of your time.
Holy shit. Sorry, kids. Didn't mean to swear there.
We've already swore plenty on the show. Okay, I've swore plenty on the show.
Yeah, but I'm apologizing about this one.
Greg, are you watching?
No, I honestly haven't had a chance to watch anything.
We've been playing Rainbow Six Siege every night.
I know.
So
I've been doing a lot of, like, 11-hour shifts at work.
Yeah.
So I'll come home, and all I want to do is just play Siege, because it's, like, I don't know how to describe it without sounding like a really terrible person. But man, just like shooting.
It calms me.
Hey, Greg, I got a challenge for you.
Okay.
You got Hulu?
I'm supposed to, but Spotify has been ripping me. Not Spotify. The deal that they give with college students, like the $5 a month you get Spotify, Hulu, and Showtime, they have been ripping me off of like Hulu. It like won't let me sign in for some reason now. Like when I first signed up for that deal, it was.
Huh.
Now it's not letting me sign in, and I'm like, okay, what's going on? So that's a long answer, but no.
All right. So what I'm thinking is, I'm thinking of watching Cowboy Bebop, and I'm not sure if you've watched it or not.
I have not watched
Cowboy Bebop. Is still probably the best anime ever created ever.
Greg, we should both watch it. We should have a good discussion about it.
You know what? I would be down for it, but I might need to borrow your Hulu.
Well, no, Jonathan and I have Cowboy Bebop on DVD. We have the complete series.
Do I have something that could play? Oh yeah, I guess
you have PS4, dude.
I was getting to that point. I made the mental bridge connection.
Don't you have a computer too? Doesn't have a disk drive?
Nope. That's something I wanted to edit about my current setup is no disk drive.
Oh.
And I want a disk drive because I wanted to play games like backyard baseball from when I was a kid.
Oh my god, Pablo Sanchez is the best
player ever.
Backyard soccer?
Yeah.
I don't think I ever played backyard soccer.
Oh, backyard soccer was amazing.
Really? Yes. I played backyard football,
dude,
too.
Pablo Sanchez all day, every day.
Yep.
That is mildly racist, but also very true for backyard baseball as well.
It's not. He had the best stats in the game.
I know. He was full stats on everything and every... Why wouldn't you pick Pablo Sanchez first?
He was 5-5-5-4. Five.
Okay, what was the four?
Pitching.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He wasn't a pitcher.
But that guy could hit, run. I was like, holy crap, he's the shortest dude on the field.
Yeah, he was always the first pick.
Oh, my God. I would always pick him first.
I do muy bueno.
Now, that might be a little racy.
But that's what he says.
Where were we going to go with this?
Cowboy Bebop.
Hulu. Cowboy Bebop.
Backyard Soccer was my favorite anime.
Yeah.
Inazuma 11, as it's called in Japan.
Oh, okay.
The more
that
you
was
know.
A joke.
Kuribu Balo. All right, so Greg, for the what we're watching, this is our project. We got to watch Cowboy Bebop. You've got a method, you know, we'll make it happen.
All right, well, I guess I'll have a bunch of DVDs to take home tonight. I'll let you guys know how it goes in 2 weeks.
I actually think I have Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah, I think so too. I have the movie here.
I mean, it's just one season, right?
Yeah, 26 episodes.
Yeah, 26 episodes.
That's it? I thought it was like this giant
no.
show, like no, Shonen no, Jump this style.
Is, no.
Cowboy Bebop is one of the greatest shows ever and has one of the and it has an actual ending and it's one of the best endings of any anime ever created.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it is.
If you want a decent taste of it too, I mean, Andrew and I, the first thing that we ever watched that we said, "Oh man, anime is good," was the Cowboy Bebop movie.
Cowboy Bebop movie is so good,
and you can watch it by itself. You don't even need to know anything about Cowboy Bebop in order to watch it.
Yeah, it's a standalone adventure.
Okay.
That should be on Hulu too, Derek. Cowboy Bebop the movie.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I've been watching the series through Hulu. So.
Mm-hmm. Now, aren't they developing a Netflix live action version of
God
of
no
that.
Yeah.
Please, if they do, I want to kill somebody.
Not
they are
Keanu
yeah
Reeves.
Oh yeah, that's
but Shinichiro Watanabe is actually overseeing the development of this.
Yeah,
so he's making sure Netflix doesn't fuck this up.
Yeah, here's $5 million. Now shut up.
Yeah, right.
That's how he's watching the.
Well,
yeah,
didn't Toriyama kind of quote unquote help with the Dragon Ball movie?
Yeah.
Right. He provided a napkin with a drawing. It was like, is this what Broly looks like? And then they're like, yeah, it is Toriyama.
Oh, no. I
think he's talking about
the
live action one.
Movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean Evolution?
Yeah.
Wow. That's a throwback. Maybe he still was like, is this what Broly looks like? Yeah, good. You got a producer credit.
Here's $1 million.
Shut up. Let's talk about beach episodes.
Yeah.
So we're midsummer. I'm trying to think of a reason why we would be talking about this topic, but really, Derek came up with it.
Yeah, basic.
But how can you deny the beach episode? It's one of the greatest things ever invented.
Well, it is. For everybody watches anime for the beach episode, we know it's true.
Yep.
Because you always want to see your best girl in their bathing suits.
In their best wares.
Mm-hmm. It's one
and
of
And we have to watch them all scream, Umida!
Oh, they do scream that every time. are we discussing what our personal favorite beach episode is out of, like, every anime ever?
I guess. I don't know.
There's no beach episode in Elfin Lied. Surprisingly.
There is one. So the one that that always sticks out in my mind whenever I think of a beach episode is the one from Gurren Lagann. Because the reason why I think of that one is because they play on every single trope that's ever been in an anime. Like, remember how everybody's freaking out over Yoko's bathing suit because it covers her up more than her regular outfit, and then Nia comes out wearing the one piece, and everybody is just like, "Yoko's right. It's better to conceal than reveal." Like, it was just a good episode.
Yeah,
like, really funny.
I would say that. So actually, just recently, the last episode of Dumbbells had their beach episode
already.
Oh yeah, yeah, where they do a workout routine.
Yeah,
of course they do.
Well, so basically they go to the beach because it's summer break.
Yeah,
and they were going to swim, and then they can't swim because they close it for
sharks.
and so they're like all depressed about the beach and what they, and they're all thinking about what they were gonna do on the beach, and nobody's there, and it's just depressing and sad, so they're like, okay, well, let's exercise on the beach. What can you do to exercise on the beach? Well, all right, well...
Masu!
Yeah, we'll all do burpees, and so, like, they teach you how to do burpees, and then...
This really is turning into anime detraining EX.
Yeah.
But in a good way.
And this anime is legitimately 1,000 times better than anime... than Exercise EX, whatever it was called, ever was.
Did you try out the exercise at the end of that episode, by the way? Because I only got up to 14 of those.
Oh, the backwards...
backwards push-ups.
Oh, I do those all the time.
Yeah, I do those all the time, too.
I can do, like, 30 of them. Yeah. So, 30. Oh, show off. Maybe I do, like, 25, 50. Something, somewhere in between there, but... but it was,
super hard if you've never worked out your triceps before.
Yeah, it's nice. I really enjoy this show for the fact that it's kind of an actual show where EX wasn't. EX wasn't a real show.
Yeah.
But it's a real... It has a storyline and characters and people that actually exist, I mean, in their universe. And then at the end of the show, they kind of have an EX-type thing going on where they teach you how to do the exercise and... all that good garbage.
I know we're going off topic, but I'm actually hoping that when this show gets released on Blu-ray, an extra will just have all of those exercises in one video for you to do a special workout with.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I can just see that happening.
Yeah, I just enjoy it. It is one of the best. But yeah, they just had their beach episode, so it was...
That's so fast.
It was rather enjoyable.
I'm trying to even think of the ones that I just remember. I found it funny that it took forever to get to the Rise of the Shield Hero one. Everybody's just like, come on!
That's actually the episode that I'm on, and I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, I gave up beforehand, so I haven't seen it either.
The one that stands out for me was the beach episode of Outbreak Company. And it's not because of everyone at the beach, everyone looking cute in the swimsuit. It's because of Queen Petrelka's council all working seriously to design a swimsuit for her. But there's this one guy who just keeps coming up with the idea of the regular high school or elementary school girl swimsuit for her to wear.
That's awful.
Yeah. That show was a hidden gem for sure.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Nobody watched it, but everybody who did liked it. I certainly liked it. I very much enjoyed it. It had a very nice dark skinned dog girl in it, and I very much enjoyed it.
do you remember
one of the best defenses to keep her alive? Basic. Fuck you, she's cute.
Do you remember Orin High School Host Club's beach episode where it followed along with the storyline so well, and the whole thing wasn't necessarily the beach episode because then they went back and all the crab that they caught they ate that night and blah 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 blah. But like
the part where Haruhi, it's revealed that she has a fear of lightning.
Yeah, that same episode. I was just thinking of that one because like you never really see a beach episode in what do they call
Shoujo?
Where there's one female protagonist and the rest are guys.
Oh, reverse harem.
Yeah, just reverse harem. It has an official name, but I forget what it's called.
Yeah, Captain Marvel. Reverse harem.
So, I remember that one because I just thought it was funny in the way that they play on the trope because, you know, everybody is a dude and they usually design the beach episode because it's just like, no, it's supposed to be like shows off all the girls in their bikinis and everything like that. And this was the first show that it was like all the dudes in their bathing suits.
Yeah.
Remember that one too.
So what you're saying, Derek, what you're saying is Yuri on Ice needs to have a Yuri on Sand episode.
Well,
didn't they kind of?
But
I mean, you got,
but also, yeah, I've got a couple that have been memorable. First one, gotta go back to the namesake where Elite Four Derek comes from. Pokemon has the best beach episode ever. I think it was like episode 18 or something like that, very early on.
Is this the one that was banned in America?
Yes. Yes, where, it was.
Where James
yes. was pulling a double D rack.
I remember this, and you can still find traces of it on, you know, the internet, but that's it.
Oh, yeah, so...
Oh, man.
I mean, in terms of beach episodes, that one has to stand out. Also, technically, Dragon Ball, if you want to go way back early on, when you first meet Master Roshi, everyone knows how wonderfully perverted he is. He lives on a beach island, so any interaction with him is technically a beach scene, right? So when underage Bulma decides to flash her... unmentionables, I guess that one counts too. Otherwise, My Hero Academia has had pool scenes. Unfortunately, no beach scenes.
That's right, yeah.
There's
been two pool scenes. One of them was the first episode that was, like, admittedly filler for the third season.
Yeah, like the filler recap?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know something?
What was the other one?
If
the other one was the spa from the Pussycats training camp out in the woods.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, remember
the hot springs.
When Mineta was trying to climb up over the wall to see all the topless girls
and they decided
to have a 9-year-old boy watch over all the topless girls and assume that that was okay.
Yes.
I remember.
Yeah, because what's her name? The invisible girl there, you can just see the outline of her body in the water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now that you mentioned that, I was very conflicted. I was going to make a point that because of the only episode where we've ever seen characters in swimsuits in My Hero Academia, they're the most modest swimsuits I've ever seen in a show, and I was like, well, maybe we're never going to get an actual beach episode because of how, like, modest the characters are within that range. But then again, they've also had a locker room scene and a spa scene.
And you know what else they've had?
What?
They've had Deku eating All Might's hair right on that beach. That is a beach scene.
So a lot of the beach scenes that stick out to me are the ones that are classic, like going back to the Gurren Lagann type. This is even preceding that, when I was just kind of a fledgling anime watcher.
Yeah.
Back at the end of high school, and the ones that stick out for me is Azumanga Daioh. They had two beach episodes because they had summer vacation twice.
Yeah, they had two summers
in the show, and so they went back to the beach house both times, and there was a beach episode for each. Man, what a great show! That show was so good.
Yeah.
That show, I can guarantee you, if I started watching Azumanga Daioh, I would feel.
And I actually want to mention something about that episode too. Remember that they were telling scary stories at that part of the episode? I didn't know this until later on, but their version of Halloween, or like, you know, when scary stuff happens, is during the summer break. So that's why they were telling stories at the beach house like that. Yes. And that's why it's a tradition over summer break to tell stories, is because that's when their Halloween-esque holiday happens. I remember learning that because of Azumanga Daioh, so I was very interested by that.
Yeah.
Fun fact.
Osaka is a very scary story about a fart that wasn't hers.
The only thing that I remember about the first beach episode from Azumanga Daioh is when Chio-chan is staying up so late with everybody, she's falling asleep, and the teacher puts a bench in front of her so that when she nods off, she smacks her forehead against the bench.
Miss Yukari.
Yeah.
What a brilliant character.
And everybody's shocked because the teacher just hurt an elementary school-age student.
Well, she then hurts her again when she drives them home. Mentally. She gets PTSD.
Yeah. Watch out for the old lady. No. Stop. No.
Well, then Miss Yukari pushes her over when she's in the penguin outfit. How did you do that? I don't know. I just could.
Yeah.
I just wanted to.
Oh, man.
Oh, how about I have an idea. Well, here's one show where every episode was a beach episode. What about Harukana Receive?
Oh yeah, the other
the volleyball anime show,
the other greatest anime ever made.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't count because I guess it takes place because there was another anime like that, and it wasn't just Harukana Receive. But how do you know you're having a beach episode when every episode's the beach episode?
Could you see the beach?
You know, I have an idea here. What series do you think would be the most inappropriate to have a beach episode of? One that doesn't have one.
Oh, man. That's a good question. The most inappropriate...
I was going to say another, but they did have a beach episode.
Yeah, it's so hard to decipher because Japan does not know the term inappropriate for a beach episode to happen.
So Elfin Lied does not have a beach episode because Elfin Lied is straight story.
They did have a beach episode where Niu gouged out
Bato's
eyes.
Yeah, they were on the beach. It was not a beach episode. Yes, well, I understand. Because, the whole story started on the beach.
Yeah, so. They also did find her on the beach, too.
So it doesn't really count. The beach is a very the beach and the ocean is a very symbolic and very sacred piece of whatever in Elfin Lied, and I don't appreciate you defiling it with a beach episode.
No. Sacred piece of whatever.
I'm joking. I would say the most inappropriate show that would have a beach episode would be... I don't know. Elfin Lied was pretty good.
It's weird because even Pokemon has had its beach episodes.
That show where the tsunami hits?
Well, yeah, but everyone was dressed modestly except for James.
His inflatables.
Whatever works.
These are too much for a girl to handle.
Did Tsunaharaso have a beach episode? I can't
remember. Yes. Well, no. It was a pool episode. That's the one episode that sticks out when I think of when he goes... Oh, okay.
I want to see the beach episode for Attack on Titan.
I do.
Yeah, that's the season finale of season 3.
Oh, it is? Shit.
Is it really?
I'm not joking. It ends with them getting to the beach.
Oh.
Oh, but it's not like a beach episode. I was like, I thought...
But they kind of have a beach episode for the last, 5 minutes of it.
Well, I guess I gotta watch Attack on Titan 3 again. Yeah, I loved Attack on Titan. I didn't get the chance to finish it. I don't know. every anime I can possibly imagine already has one, so I can't really think. Did Naruto ever have a beach episode? I don't know, because I didn't watch any of the fillers. I just read the manga. And the manga had no beach episodes. So
I'm pretty sure One Piece never had one.
Well, nobody can go swimming in One Piece or they'll drown, right?
They're always on the beach.
But they can't have a beach episode because that would require them to swim.
Yeah.
And then they would die.
Well, I think only Luffy's the one who can't swim because of how rubbery his body is.
Is it just Luffy? I thought it was.
It's just Luffy.
I thought the whole story was that if you took on the power, then you gave up your ability to swim.
I hear the typing. Yeah, you're typing away.
Nope, you are right. Anyone who used a devil fruit, they can't swim.
Yes. That's why they're all pirates and they're on ships. That's not why, but...
I guess the whole purpose of this is to say that...
Every episode is a beach episode.
every anime is an appropriate time to have a beach episode.
Everybody wants to wait for that beach episode, and yeah. Everybody... will eventually find it.
Because as we know, it's the only way that anybody can get good content in. Nobody actually stays for the story, they stay for the beach episode.
So what would a Junji Ito beach episode look like?
Has there been a Junji Ito beach like story?
Not that I can think of. There may have been in one of his longer stories, the black something. But that was because it was like a group of friends going across the coastline and whatever. But as far as I can remember, or as far as I've read, no, there's no Junji Ito beachy thing.
Be the creepiest beach episode ever.
And I wouldn't want it any other way. I wouldn't want it any other way.
Exactly. Like, what would it look like?
Well, seeing that he does a bunch of short stories, it's probably all of his monsters in swimsuit attire and doing beachy things.
Picture like some sort of mermaid kind of centric thing where it ends up being like some crazy beast. I don't know, I'm just...
It's almost the plot to Tusk.
yeah. Thank you. Was it Kevin Smith?
Yep, yeah. Kevin Smith.
Oh, God.
That was a great movie. It was such a good movie.
It was.
I love that movie.
It was so cringeworthy at the end, but... It was like the same noises that Forrest Gump made when he was a kid, when like his mom's boyfriend came outside. How you doing, kid?
That wasn't a boyfriend.
No, that was the superintendent who told them that Forrest Gump couldn't go to that school.
Yep. Okay. Well,
your mama really wants you to go to that school.
Okay, we've just divulged to noises. Devolved.
Yeah, let's let
our conversation. It's time to move on past this. Let's go to some fan service. If we look at the Discord, there's a lot of fan service that we haven't caught up in a while, probably since the entirety of the summer, if I would imagine. Some of the ones that I caught on here, like, oh man, I'm even going back to some that we've never even talked about since like May. I got this one of this hentai-themed hot sauce that was invented as an aphrodisiac. That's from Rock on the Discord.
I have a prediction. It's hot.
Good joke.
But more recently in July, Wicked Fan Gerardo had put an article saying that Chinese Final Fantasy 14 players are eating an inhuman amount of KFC during their Final Fantasy Chocobo Rewards promotion.
Interesting.
I actually thought that Asian countries were rejecting U.S. trash, so how are they getting KFC?
How dare you!
Oh, I love KFC. I'm sorry. I love you, KFC.
So the to follow this up is that you need to buy a family deal for four in order to get the rewards for the chicken.
Man, but they're buying it for one.
And they're buying it for one. Here's the family deal for four. One double chicken burger, one vegan mushroom burger, one five-piece chicken nuggets, two original recipe chicken, one two-piece New Orleans chicken wings, one old Beijing spicy duck roll, two Pepsi larges, and two peach oolong teas large.
Can I substitute That's... Diet Pepsi?
That's eight items that you need to buy every time you want a code for this Final Fantasy thing. Man, that's crazy.
Okay.
I can't believe...
Yeah, okay. I can do that.
I gotta rejoin the Discord at some point to catch up on all the things that
you
I'm
should. Missing. I've been hanging out with all the guys on the Discord more.
I know. I just haven't had time to scroll through every once in a while.
There's some great memes going on.
Oh, I bet. I bet there's great memes going on all the time.
We talk about art, and we talk about memes.
Let's see. Do we have
talk about music?
Any news stuff that I'm missing? We got Zombieland Saga, of course, confirming Zombieland Saga 2. Of course, that's going on. We have donations for Kyoto Animations. We've pretty much covered everything, other than the strange news things, I'm pretty sure. If there isn't anything else that we've talked about that you everybody are fans on the Discord, you think that we should be talking about something and we've missed it, please highlight it. It's totally cool to say, hey, could you all talk about this one? And we'll make a note of it on the Discord. Otherwise, we'll just pick out the ones that we like and we'll talk about them real quick and et cetera, et cetera. So we are running out of time. So I think that we should get to doing some shameless plugs.
Sure. So if you guys want to join in our conversation and you want to get into the summer spirits and you want to talk about beachy things and beachy episodes, you can email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. You can also find us at facebook.com/wickedanime, where you can find the posting of this podcast, all of our news, our updates. You can comment on things. You can find news articles. You can find event updates that we're going to be going to and fro. And then, of course, you can find us at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime, where you are probably listening to this podcast. If you're not listening to this podcast on somewhere like iTunes, Podchasers, Acast, Stitcher, and wherever else you might listen to your podcasts on the internet, that's where you're going to find us. You can also find our Wicked Anime videos at youtube.com/wickedanimereviews. But of course, you can find us on all the other social medias, such as Twitter. And you can tweet us at @YoWickedAnime. And of course, the biggest part is you can find us right on our Discord. If you want to join the Discord, you can find the invite link pinned to the top of our Facebook page. Just click that link and you'll be connected right up to our Discord, and you can join our meme conversations or our music conversations, or you can see what kind of art I do. Oh, hey, Andrew, what kind of art do you do? Well, I am on Facebook at AFLM, and you can find me at facebook.com/AFLMart, all one word. You can also find me on Instagram.com at AFLM_art. And you can also find, if you might want, maybe want to see some updates, I've started somewhat of a hobby channel under my full name, or Stick Figure Czar. That's Stick Figure, Czar, for video games. I might be just streaming video games every once in a while, and you can find some of my Rainbow Six Siege stuff on there, where me and Greg have a blast.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
I'll post that on the Discord as well. But the most important part is AFLM. Find me, because I'm producing a comic book, and you gotta keep up to date with my comic book, guys. It's coming. Evan?
So, for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bash Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you are in a band and want to be featured on our No Borders, No Race podcast, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbashbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter, on Instagram, on Twitch, and on the J-Pop Video Games and Anime Amino pages at kingbaby.esh, and on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. Like us on Facebook.com/BossAndBashBrigade and Facebook.com/LandOfEsh. Don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Esh, including the Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, and Smashbook. And I hope, well, it hasn't been recorded as of this recording, but I do hope you like what we did for the latest episode of No Borders, No Race. Derek.
Hey, well, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Leap4Derek. Otherwise, you can find me cashing in most of my money into chips to be able to gamble in Grand Theft Auto Online, because gambling is now the biggest thing in online gaming. Gambling! Everyone's losing their money. Everything's fixed. Everyone's complaining. Everyone's killing the valet, because why the fuck not? You have no money anymore. So I'll just be having fun there, and I'm going to buy a penthouse and just sit back and enjoy the view.
All right. So that's it for us, everybody. I hope that you have enjoyed most of your summer so far and the rest of your summer to come. In the next episode, we will talk about something. So with that, we will be signing off the only way we know how.
Kima!
Why do you always...
Yeah, they'll hear it.
Best fans. Anyway.
They're super.
Super-duper.
Super-ty, awesomely fucking super.
Almost spit out my water there.
I did it again, motherfucker.
Pause for thought with The Guardian's Essential Weekly magazine. The Guardian Weekly brings you a rounded, global perspective on the issues that you care about and those you might have missed. With quality, hand-picked journalism from a week of The Guardian and The Observer. Search The Guardian Weekly to find out more.